Welcome to Coffee with Friends. I'm Cooper Short.
I'm Sue Barlow.
Today, we're talking to Sue Barlow about how to be a Christian in the secular workforce, because I don't do either of those. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. Well, welcome back to episode, I think this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, I have the numbers beside it, that was stupid. Of Coffee with Friends. Coffee with Friends is an interview special where we talk to various Christians about their life and their faith and their niche in the world we live in as a believer. We've talked to Preston Stevenson about Christian dating. Not that I date him, but he's a Christian and he dates. I've talked to JC Younger about being a Christian athlete. Talked to Jeff Johnson about his role as a missions pastor. So today, we're going to be talking to Sue Barlow, our first non-Southerner on the podcast, about what it's like being a Christian who works in the secular workforce, because everyone I've talked to up until this point has been just, I have a relationship with them because of ministry. So Sue's the first person to have a relationship with that's not inherently just about ministry. So Sue, how's it going? Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
It's going great. I'm 59. I grew up in Forsyth. I've been a member of Forsyth Baptist Church for ever.
That's Illinois, by the way, Forsyth, Illinois, which is where I'm currently sitting.
I am the office manager at the Downs Insurance Agency. I've been in the insurance business 40 years.
So, okay, so you said you're 59. You've been selling insurance for 40 years. So you started working at an insurance company when you were 19?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right out of high school.
Wow. I've never heard of a high schooler who was like, you know what I want to do? I want to go work for an insurance company. Never heard that in my life. The times have changed. So give me like a 2-3 minute shorter than that if you want it to be longer than that, if it has to be testimony.
I was saved at a very young age, at the age of 4. My parents, we had a Good News Club in our home once a week. And my parents kept asking me over time, you know, you sure that you're saved and, you know, you're so young. And I used to get so tired. Like one day I was just like, why do you keep asking me that? I asked Jesus to come into my heart, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I was 11, we had a revival here at church and Jess Powers was the evangelist. And I went forward and made sure I was saved and got baptized at the age of 11.
That was here?
Yes.
So you've gone here your whole life.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Pretty solid. Yeah, that's funny. Several people always have that story of, especially from my being from the South, you know, where 90% of everybody goes to church. And I hear that a lot. And I've got a friend at school who had the same thing. And he had to, like, convince his family. He had to, like, mm-hmm. sit down and give them, like a long, drawn-out biblical explanation of the gospel. Which, I mean, I guess is fine or whatever, but yeah, it's funny that you say that. Okay, so what's your favorite Bible verse?
Psalms 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And that was, my joke is always, I learned that before I could walk because I was petrified of storms and my mother would get in bed with me and we would say this verse over and over and over. And the funny thing about this is, as I got older, it meant different things. My mother passed away 30 years ago, and this verse, you know, you hate to lose a parent, and going, watching her go through all, she had breast cancer, watching her deal with that. Like I said, this verse took on a whole new meaning.
Right.
And so then it went from that to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So those two verses just really worked together during that time.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom's favorite verse is Philippians 4:13. I'm pretty sure. I know it used to be. If it's not, Mom, don't tell me. So, at your job, what do you do on a daily basis? Well, Weekly basis?
I work in a 3-people office, so when you work in a 3-people office, you work.
Yeah.
It's like if you work in an office where there's hundreds of people, you could be a slacker and you might be able to get by with it. I do everything possible in an office. I do all the quoting, all the rating. I upload every policy. I upload every change. I make payments. My boss doesn't touch a computer, so obviously there's a lot involved just keeping him going. And actually, my father's been ill this year, and my boss wrote my father a letter and said that the Downs Insurance Agency would not be what it is today if it was not for your daughter. So
he did. We need to point out the detail there, though, that he did write a letter and did not send an email
exactly.
or a text because
exactly.
he doesn't use it. Because you told me, I want to clarify this, he sends you emails and you have to print them out, write on them, like to respond, and then give him the actual physical paperback.
Correct.
Yeah, he doesn't use computers, correct. Which as a 20-year-old in the 21st century blows my mind. I was using email before I could speak English, so I'm not used to that at all. So doing those things on a daily, weekly basis, what's the hardest part of your job?
I would say dealing with people. You have some customers that are always great. I mean, if their billing gets messed up or they have a claim, they can just be wonderful. And then you have people that no matter how perfect things go, they're still going to call and complain. And some people are just never happy.
So yeah, that's true.
Everybody should have to deal with the public.
Yeah, they should, because this is not nearly the same. But I worked at the YMCA in high school, and I had to take care of the baseball fields at the YMCA. And one of the most irritating things was having people come to me and complain about the fields when they had not asked to be on them. So they show up randomly to practice with their, you know, little like redneck rec league team. And they come to me either that day or sometime later, like, hey man, you know, such and such was messed up. Well, we didn't know you were coming, so you're mad about something I couldn't have prevented. So yes, dealing with the public, working at the YMCA made me respect the service industry, because I don't think I'll ever be a part of it, which is funny because I'm going to ministry, but still not a fan. So when it comes to doing your job and being a Christian, how does your faith make your relationship with authority, make your relationship with your superiors? Because like I know for me, for example, as a college athlete, I honestly think it makes it harder to take harsh criticism when you feel it's unwarranted. When you get criticized for things that you either didn't do or you know is not actually your fault, I think as a believer, for me, it's harder to bite my tongue, because part of me knows I want to lash out, and then the Christian in me knows you can't do that. And it's actually that inner battle between, do I say something or just sit here and shut up? That's the hardest part of my quote-unquote secular job. So what's the hardest part of your job?
Probably the same. I mean, there's times that, you know, and my boss is not a Christian, but he's a good person. He does things right. So at least I don't have to work for somebody that I'm like, that is just wrong to be doing that. You know, I don't have that issue, but there are times that it's just hard to not lash out, or like you said, say things that, you know, you always want to come across as Christ-like, but yet sometimes there's a fine line. You don't want to let people walk all over you either.
Right.
You know,
it's, right. Yeah. Always battle between, when is it me being honest and sticking up for myself? And at what point do I draw the line and just take all the punches? Like, at what point do I stop taking the punches? Because sometimes Jesus takes the punches, exhibit A, the cross. But sometimes Jesus doesn't take the punches. Mm-hmm. You know, exhibit B, when they're all eating lunch together and the Pharisees are talking junk about him. And he's like, you guys are wrong. I'm always struggling with that too. So how does your faith make your relationship with coworkers and or customers? So I know you have one coworker, but how does your faith color your relationship with people who answer to you sometimes? Because, you know, when you're a Christian and you're answering to authority, that takes a huge element of humility. But when you're having to deal with people who are looking to you for answers, how does your faith tailor that relationship?
Well, you just have to make sure you're walking the walk and talking the talk, because they're watching you.
Right.
You know, if you're not living it, then you're not setting a good example.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the concept of your witness. I think your witness as a Christian is probably your most useful trait, because it doesn't matter how much you know or don't know. If you say it and there's nothing to back it up, who cares that you said it?
Well, and I've always said, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you may think nobody's watching you, but somebody is always watching. You
yeah.
know, like at Walmart, when you're ready to go postal, it's like, take a deep breath, because
yeah.
somebody's watching.
Yep. especially in a community that's small like this. Mm-hmm. You always imprint into every time I go somewhere at home, I see somebody I know every time. So yeah, I totally get what you mean. So what's the most challenging thing for you as a Christian working in the secular world? Because my only experience with this is going to college. But even in college, I can kind of shield myself from the secular world because I can just find the friends who are Christians and hang out with them, you know, and I can live in my own dorm room and do my own thing. But when you're working, you don't always have the option to just not be around everything. So what's the most challenging thing for you as a Christian having to forcefully be in the world all the time?
Well, I think, you know, with my boss not being a Christian, you know, he'll throw out there, well, you go to church, so everything works out okay for you, you know. So you have to find ways to respond to that, because it's like, obviously, my life isn't perfect because I'm a Christian or go to church. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I'm typing away, praying away, you know. That's something nobody can take away from you, and nobody knows that you're doing that. But there's days when you're struggling, just keep praying while you're typing.
Yeah. How do you see your role as a Christian, where you work? And I guess more importantly for you, how do you see your role as a Christian for the people who use your service? So like as someone who works at an insurance company, how does your role as a Christian there, how does that being your mission field, what do you feel like your role is there? Because like I said, my quote unquote secular job is being a college athlete. And I see my role as a Christian on the team, trying to be calm, cool, and collected when stuff gets kind of bad, trying to be the morale guy, trying to be encouraging, trying to be easygoing. Because the easiest thing to do is to let negativity take over when you play a college sport, because for all the practice and meeting and running that you do, you play for a very small percentage compared to everything else. And so trying to hold guys down on my team and be a positive influence is my role, I feel like. So what's your role?
I just feel like always doing my best. I think God expects my best. And I've had customers, they'll come in and say, I want to talk to the boss. And they point to me, not my boss, you know, because they, you know, if they've been customers for a long time, they know who's going to get the job done and who's, and I always, sometimes one can make yourself crazy, but I always try to, I do my best. I expect the best from me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I think it's important to always work as hard as possible because I think some of that goes with your witness, but I think some of that also too is like God worked as hard as possible. Like he killed himself on the cross so that I can do whatever I'm doing here. Like I think the least I can do is the most I can do. And so, yeah, totally agree with that. So if you could sit someone down who's going to go into your profession, who is where you were graduating high school, what are tips you would give them as a believer going to do exactly what you're doing now after years of experience?
Well, insurance isn't fun because people have claims, so they're mad when they come in or call. They don't like premiums, so they're mad. You know, you're constantly dealing with negative, upset people that are complaining, griping, you know. But on the flip side, like I said earlier, you have customers that are always wonderful, kind, you know. So just remember that every day is not going to be a picnic, but every day is not bad. There's always a lot to learn. It's very detailed. You have to work hard. If you're going to be a slacker and don't like to work hard, it's not going to be for you, because it's you work hard every day.
What's one example where you've been in a moment dealing with a customer, for example, and there's been a moment there where the line's been drawn and you've had to choose your faith over how you wanted to react because it was a dire situation?
Well, there was a day that someone used the Lord's name in vain. I mean, just really mad and really, and I, you know, like you're saying, you have to be cautious because what you want to say, and I just said, I wish you wouldn't speak that way, you know, and they just kind of look at you for a minute, you know, like, who are you to tell, you know, but they did, you know, it wasn't, so it wasn't a big issue, but it's just, you know, you can either stand there and listen to that, or you can put a stop to it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I think that's pretty much it. I think we wrapped up our interview with Sue Barlow. Your CHH song of the episode is Energy by No Big Deal, featuring Tori Deshawn. So I'm a massive No Big Deal fan. And when I say massive, I mean massive. And this song was on the 116 Reach Records Summer 19 project. And I forget, I want to say Tori Deshawn even produced this song. But the instrumental is ridiculous, 10 out of 10. And No Big Deal is just a really, really good feature artist because for some reason he's got this strange knack for writing short verses and just putting a lot in them. But really solid song. That's Energy by No Big Deal featuring Tori Deshawn. It's going to be a classic for years to come. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. I'll be more than happy to reimburse you for the brain cells. I'd like to thank Sue Barlow, insurance extraordinaire, for joining the show. Sue, you want to say anything else?
I think I'm good.
She thinks she's good. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Calf Christ. You can check us out at calfchrist.com. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ, John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Remember, the battle is already won, and don't ever forget to grab coffee with your friends. Howdy.